The assumption is that the college environment is one where ideas and viewpoints of all kinds are shared and exchanged as part of what we call the education process. The unfortunate reality is that many college campuses have turned into one-way streets where some issues, stands, and views are invited, while others are sometimes violently rejected. Then a claim came along saying that speech which is objectionable can be emotionally harmful. My next guest recently wrote about this online for New York Magazine, where he's a contributing writer. He's also currently working on a book regarding bad ideas in social science. Here to take a look at what we, I guess, call a debate over debate is Jesse Singel. How are you today, Jesse?
I'm good. Thank you. Thank you for having me.
And you read Jesse's article at nymag.com, where it's entitled, Stop Telling Students Free Speech is Traumatizing Them. And, well, this is something we've seen. It's almost where someone from the right is invited onto campus, and the police have to line up with guns drawn. But I think back, remember when the president of Iran at the time, Mahmoud Ahmadinejad, he was welcomed with open arms and a full house, by the way, at New York University. What exactly is wrong with this picture?
Well, I don't think we should overstate it. I think every day at colleges around the country, campus Republicans meet, there are debates, there are conservative speakers. I do think there have been some, isolated incidents that are disturbing where, students have responded to truly objectionable speakers like Milo Yiannopoulos with rioting. It isn't always clear how, whether they're students, whether they're outside agitators. Troublemakers often sort of get drawn to these sort of things. I do think the point of the article is there's this unfortunate idea going around that there's something inherently traumatizing about having a speaker like Yiannopoulos on your campus, and I just don't think that's true.
This is all from the professor of psychology at Northeastern University, Lisa Feldman Barrett. What's her foundation? Where did she come up with this? Well, she calls it, a fact, but it's more of a theory because of what's, at least I was able to find out, what she's basing her thesis on.
Yeah, she's basing it on the well-founded idea that if you're in an environment of chronic stress, that can do real harm to your body and to your mind. If you look at kids who grow up in true poverty or in truly traumatizing environments or in a refugee camp, it really does. It affects their health. It affects their well-being. They can have psychological scars lasting a lifetime in some cases. She then stretched that to encompass situations where students are unhappy that someone like Yiannopoulos is coming to their campus. And my point was, you simply can't compare the two. A college student faced with a speaker they hate coming to speak on their campus is nothing like someone growing up in a refugee camp or growing up in a dangerous low-income neighborhood. I think it does a disservice to this whole debate to act like this idea that students are being traumatized by the mere presence of a speaker they don't even have to go see is a reasonable idea to debate. And that's why I thought it was frustrating to me that the Times would give a spotlight to an idea like that.
In fact, isn't the student traumatizing themselves because they have this inability to handle a viewpoint or an idea that's counter to what they believe?
I wouldn't go that far, but I do think there's a fear. In my article, I referenced some emerging interesting research which suggests that the way we respond to stress is mediated by how we expect to respond to stress. In other words, there's some evidence, and I should press that it's early, and we can't make sweeping conclusions here, but there is some evidence that if you tell students over and over and over again, you're being traumatized by this, you're being traumatized by this, that might not lead to the most healthy or adaptive responses to it.
Well, it's like the old story of if you tell a child as young as possible, fire will not burn you, fire will not cause you pain, some people theorize that at some point, the child can hold their hand over an open flame and not feel anything.
Yeah, I mean, however you frame it, the point is that the way we interact with the world is colored by our expectations. And, you can't take this idea too far. Going back to the kid who grows up in a refugee camp, you can't just tell them, this isn't traumatizing you, you'll be fine. Like, there's a limit, but it's just not, I was frustrated. It's not good to tell kids they're being traumatized by the sort of speech I disagree with, I find objectionable, but you can also hear it every time you turn on the radio. It's all around us, and it's not inherently traumatizing to hear it.
So with Jesse Singel, who is a contributing writer for New York Magazine's online version, he's also currently working on a book regarding bad ideas in social science. You can learn more about Jesse at jessesingel.com, newyorkmag.com is where you can read Jesse's recent article, which is entitled Stop Telling Students Free Speech is Traumatizing Them, and you're listening to Issues and ideas. With the climate on campus where this one-way street has been allowed to form, who is more to blame, or is it a shared responsibility between the students and the administrators?
I think when you look at the climate clashes that occurred in the 60s and 70s, or mostly the 60s, where you literally had students violently occupying certain buildings, I'm actually not sure things are worse or different than they were. I think there are isolated blow-ups that are genuinely concerning. I also think that because of the nature of social media, we're much more likely to hear about an event occurring today than we would have been 10 years ago. So my stance on this, and we may disagree, is that there are some bad ideas floating around, some harmful ideas floating around. I'm not sure how prevalent they are. I think it's tricky to prove that they're that prevalent, but I do think when we encounter them, we should fight back against them. And that's what I was trying to do with the column.
Well, certainly, too, and this is maybe an example of how certain college campus climates aren't preparing students for the real world, where in reality, if you are going to come across something that will rub you the wrong way or be something you're opposed to, are you better off challenging it, trying to convert it, or shy away from it?
Right. And I think the answer to that is totally context dependent. Milo Yiannopoulos is the center of a lot of these incidents, and he's a far right provocateur. I don't think he makes legitimate arguments. I think he's trying to annoy people and enrage them and make them frustrated. So I'm all for students protesting his presence and pointing out the horrible, hateful things he said. But unfortunately, there's a lot of Milos out in the world, and it isn't doing students a service to tell them, yeah, whenever you encounter the speech, it's traumatizing to you. That, and it also doesn't line up with the science we know. I think kids should be encouraged to be resilient and to respond either, if they want to ignore it, if they're comfortable with that, that's fine. If they want to protest it, that's fine. But this idea that they're being traumatized just isn't accurate, and it doesn't help anybody.
And certainly it's maybe even the best point to challenge it, and there might be a mutual learning experience that's being missed when you either deflect it or reject it.
Yeah. I mean, what's striking to me about someone like Yiannopoulos is if you actually look at the stuff he says, a lot of it from my vantage point doesn't make a lick of sense. And he's so clearly trying to be a provocative troll that to a certain point there's something to be said to just highlight his idiocy and to point out how he fancies himself an intellectual, but he's very much not. I think there's something to be said for that. And again, protest away, exercise your own free speech rights. But when we bring in the idea that kids are being traumatized just by the appearance of a speaker like this, doesn't help anybody.
And looking at it from a protester's point of view, if that was me, I would want to do the challenging, because if you try to do the set up the blockade, you run the risk of making someone you're opposed to the figure of sympathy and elevating them.
Yeah, and that, excuse me, I've written articles to that effect too. I do think there's a risk that some of these figures are getting more credit and more of a spotlight than they deserve because of the campus disruptions. And from the protesters' point of view, they're saying, look, these people are saying terrible things about Muslims, about people of color, and I understand the impulse to defend yourself. I'm Jewish, and, if there's an anti-Semitic speaker, I'm sure I would respond a certain way. But I do think you need to balance your desire to respond in certain ways against the potential that you're just helping these jerks by blowing them up into the status of martyrs.
It's an interesting approach to a more frequent conflict that's happening on campuses across the country. His article is Stop Telling Students Free Speech is Traumatizing Them. You can read it at nymag.com. Learn more about Jesse's work and his upcoming book on social science and some of the interesting things that happen within that realm of our world. It's Jesse Singal, singal.com. We have links over to Jesse's article as well as his website over at our website. As always, he is a contributing writer for the online version of New York Magazine, and again, working on a book regarding bad ideas in social science. Jesse Singal, thanks for being here today.
Thank you so much for having me.